Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. Governor Pat McCrory has been giving interviews to local TV anchors this week, defending his administration after a series of scandals. The latest, an interruption of benefits for infants and pregnant women during the federal shutdown. North Carolina was the only state in the country to halt the program. Here to talk about McCrory's first 9 months in office, the political implications of the shutdown, and the 2014 Senate race is political scientist David McLennan from William Peace University. Well, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chris.
A lot to talk about in the world of politics and government these days and the mints we have together. But I guess let's start with the federal shutdown, just because I think people are still trying to figure out actually what happened and how it affected North Carolina. What did you make of that now that you've had a little bit to think about it?
Well, it seemed like a old-fashioned political fight. It really was between two parts of the Republican Party. You have the Tea Party, who is drawing firm lines in the sand, and then the more mainstream Republicans who are trying to do business as usual. And it seemed to me that, at least initially, the Tea Party was controlling the process, and then other cooler minds prevailed. It seemed like the Democrats were sort of on the sidelines for much of it.
Right before it finally ended, we had Pat Robertson, Grover Norquist, not to mention just, you know, John McCain and all those sorts of people. So it really seemed to be a bizarre scene.
From outside Washington, it just seemed like it was a circus with all the players. I mean, everybody was voicing their opinions and some people changing their minds, and the blame game was pretty incredible. But, you know, sort of now that we're a few days past it, it's kind of hard to imagine going through this again. But the way they set up the bill, it only funds government through January 15th. So when I talked to people about it, I said, we really haven't achieved much but a temporary fix.
Part of the Republicans' agenda of that, the small Tea Party faction, is they don't trust government. They don't like government. In some ways, aren't they reinforcing what they already believe? I mean, don't they ultimately come out of this? I mean, a lot of people I talk to who don't follow this at all say, oh, they're all corrupt, or they all can't get anything done, or it's a mess and government doesn't work, and which sort of reinforces their message.
Yeah, it does reinforce the message. And, you know, what's interesting to me is someone who follows the history of politics is, you know, we'll go back to President Reagan, who coined the expression about government being the problem. But yet he didn't live that particular philosophy. He, soon after saying that, he and Tip O'Neill worked together to fix many problems, work across the aisle. And yet the Tea Party seems to quote Ronald Reagan's line about the government being the problem, but they're actually buying into the line, not necessarily the behavior of President Reagan.
Let's talk about North Carolina some. There's a lot of things to talk about on that horizon. I guess the first thing is it's the first governor, at least in my memory, who's actually had his advocates or people who work for him or aligned with him run television commercials, which are still running, sort of defending his agenda, and he's only been in office 9 months. That strikes me as unusual.
Yeah, you see this closer to campaign season, and he's far away from running again in 2016. You know, it is an interesting world. I think they're being sort of, they feel beat upon for the last 9 months, not only in media outlets, but social media and other things. So I think it's an attempt to try to circumvent what they see as a problem, which is to get their message out through traditional media outlets. So they're just buying time and running advertising. You know, it's interesting that we in political science talk about the unending campaign. Well, this is evidence that even at the state level, you know, politics, at least campaign politics, doesn't really end.
What do you make of the governor's first, I guess, now 10 months in office? Obviously, he's getting around the state. He's been on television. He did more TV interviews this week. But as you mentioned, he has been battered some with the Department of Health and Human Services and other places. Is this about sort of what you expected for somebody who hasn't run state government before, or has there been any surprises?
A lot of administrations have difficulties. I mean, we sometimes forget that other Democratic administrations have had some issues with personnel and trying to implement policies. You know, the Republicans have taken over the governorship for the first time in 20 years. Pat McCrory had no Raleigh experience coming into the governorship. He had to hire people who also didn't have state government experience. I mean, if you look at, you know, we're used to Democratic administrations, cabinet officials and others. He really was drawing on people that had the same kind of background he did, which is, you know, in city government or another kind of venue. So I think, you know, no, I'm not surprised in that there have been bumps in the road, you know, and some of them have been self-inflicted wounds. Even this week, he has started backing away on something like Medicaid. You know, he started saying, well, we may have to implement more Medicaid in the state of North Carolina when he was part of drawing firm line in the sand when the federal government offered Medicaid dollars. So, you know, I think it's a learning process for the governor. And, you know, if we're talking a year from now, I suspect that the governor will have a slightly easier time of it in his second year.
There's a Senate race, obviously, in North Carolina, which is the big purely political news. Kay Hagan running for re-election in what's a very closely watched race with some discussion that Republicans might be able to take over the U.S. Senate. They would certainly need her seat. What do you make of that now? We're still a year out, but the Republican field is coming into focus.
Well, it's an interesting Republican field, particularly in light of the government shutdown and all the conversation around that. I mean, you've got two people in the race who are trying to claim sort of the Tea Party mantle, and then one person, obviously Speaker Tillis, who, although he's trying to maintain a very conservative line to appeal to the base, you know, his record as Speaker was not necessarily as the most conservative member of the General Assembly. So it's a fascinating race in that I think you have three very different kinds of Republican candidates, all united by one thing, which is the desire to get Kay Hagan out. And it'll be interesting to see in the next year how they raise money, because you've got one bigger name than the other two. But the other two can kind of tap into some Tea Party resources and some big donors, see how money is raised, and to see really who can get the vote out. If Speaker Tillis can bring out the more moderate side of the Republican Party, which typically doesn't come out in high numbers in primary campaigns, or if the strong Tea Party support will continue. Tea Party is not doing well as a brand these days, even in North Carolina. So it's a fascinating race. And meanwhile, Kay Hagan is piling up the dollars to run a general election campaign.
In light of the federal shutdown, Greg Brannon, one of the two candidates that's sort of the most closely aligned, I guess, with the Tea Party, was one of the sponsors and key speakers at a thing called Nullify Now meeting in Raleigh, where they literally were talking about nullifying federal laws they don't like. And so I think people, maybe tend to write him off. But he was actually endorsed by Senator Rand Paul, who's sort of a hero of the folks on the right in Washington.
Yeah. And, you know, you have to raise the question about how important are endorsements. He is a big name, and I think he could open the fundraising doors a lot for Greg Brannon. But, you know, in terms of what the actual endorsement means, you know, we're a year out. There's a lot that's going to happen before next May, and we have the actual primary election. The real question is, can the Reverend from Charlotte and Brannon really appear legitimate to the voters? I mean, right now, all three candidates are polling pretty low. You know, people aren't following the race. They're not necessarily knowing much about any of the candidates. But right now, it's more of the invisible primary. It's about raising money, getting the big donors, and getting the big names in the Republican Party to support them.
Finally, before I let you go, what effect does the shutdown, is it too early to tell, I guess, but what are your thoughts about how it affects other politicians in the state? Renee Elmers was sort of all over the place. We had several members, I think six members of the congressional delegation, vote against the bill to end the shutdown. Will voters remember all that, or will it be so far out that it may not have a big impact when we come to vote again?
Well, I think what's going to happen is their opponents are going to remind people of their role in the shutdown. You know, you look at Renee Elmers. I mean, she did ultimately vote no to end the shutdown, and I think she was appealing to her base. There was some rumor that there were going to be multiple opponents from her right in the primary campaign. At least one has withdrawn. The people who said no are in fairly safe districts. I mean, we have to look at redistricting every time we talk about elections. You know, there's Mark Meadows or someone like that is in a very safe district now after redistricting. So, you know, I don't know if it's going to matter how they voted. I mean, that's kind of a cynical view. But the opponents are certainly going to raise the issue. A Democrat has started talking about running against Renee Elmers and how he's going to run against Renee Elmers. And I think, you know, bringing up the shutdown is going to be part of his campaign.
Well, certainly a fascinating time to be a political scientist. As you say, it's always a fascinating time.
It is. It never changes. I can walk into class with plenty of material.
Well, thank you very much for what you're doing. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Chris.
Up next, grades for state lawmakers on protecting the environment. Stay with us.